George Bush won't be the only one raising his hand to take an oath of office tomorrow. Just minutes before, Dick Cheney will be sworn in as vice president. The VP's job description has changed since the first man to hold the post. John Adams called it the most insignificant office that ever the invention of man contrived. Well, in the city of Huntington, Indiana, there's a museum that celebrates all the nation's second-in-command, whatever their role. Reporter Harriet Baskis paid a visit as part of the Hidden Treasures radio project.
To honor the local boy who grew up to be vice president, the folks in Huntington, Indiana, transformed an old two-story Christian Science church into a Dan Quayle museum. But the former vice president urged them to take a broader view.
The memo from Quayle's office said, people aren't going to be interested in my baby pictures down the line. Teach them about the vice presidency.
Museum director Dan John says the town took the former VP's advice to heart and turned the Dan Quayle Museum into the United States Vice Presidential Museum. But even some vice presidential experts wonder why.
Very few people care about the second string.
Dan Cohen runs a website called vicepresidents.com and is the author of a trivia book about vice presidents called Second String.
Nobody cares about the people on the bench. Nobody in our country really can tell you who all the presidents are. Very few can tell you who all the vice presidents have been.
There definitely is a who issue, says museum director Dan John, so he makes sure everyone who does visit his Huntington shrine takes note of the vice presidential timeline in the museum lobby.
Hendricks, Morton, Stevenson, Hobart.
Then there's the so what issue, tackled in a museum video.
Is the vice president only a heartbeat away from holding the most powerful office in the world? Or was our 32nd vice president correct in his assessment? But the job is not worth a pitcher of warm spit.
Quick, who was the 32nd vice president of the United States? Can you name the vice president who wrote the melody for this song, recorded by Dinah Shore, The Four Tops, Elton John, Van Morrison, and first made popular by Tommy Edwards?
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game.
Charles Dawes, the country's 30th vice president under Calvin Coolidge, wrote Melody in A Major in 1912. Someone added lyrics in 1951 and renamed it It's All in the Game. That sheet music, which credits Dawes, is on display at the United States Vice Presidential Museum, along with a black plate from a formal dinner hosted by Vice President Lyndon Johnson, and there's Millard Fillmore's black top hat, the one he wore to be sworn in as president after Zachary Taylor died.
Now we're in the upstairs, which is the Quayle Vice Presidential Gallery.
Museum director Dan John points out the former vice president's baby pictures, the law degree his dog chewed up, and the newspaper articles about the now infamous spelling bee, in which the vice president urged a young contestant to add an E to the word potato.
It's part of the history of Vice President Quayle. If we tried to hide it away, people go, you're hiding the potato thing.
The anatomically correct South American doll that also brought Quayle plenty of negative press is not part of the collection. But Dan John says he's not hiding anything because pretty much every vice presidential item he's got is on display in the museum. So while there's a Spiro Agnew trash can and an Agnew memo on exhibit, there's more he could have.
We actually have something that we call the Agnew room. It's actually just a storage room.
Jenny Levine is curator for historical manuscripts at the University of Maryland in College Park. She says Agnew, who served as Maryland's governor before he was Richard Nixon's vice president, gave his papers and memorabilia to the university.
And the most interesting thing here, I think, was a gift to him from the president of Indonesia. It is a portrait of Agnew done entirely in bird feathers.
Levine says she has a number of other portraits, including one the staff calls Agnew with beaver teeth, and a framed photograph of former President Nixon.
And it says, to Vice President Spiro Agnew, with deep appreciation for his service to the nation, from his friend Richard Nixon. And I'm pretty sure that Spiro is misspelled. It's spelled with a Y instead of a I.
Proof, perhaps, that like the public, even some presidents haven't paid much attention to their vice presidents. By the way, the country's 32nd vice president, the one who made that comment about the pitcher of warm spit, that was John Garner. Now, can you name his boss? For NPR News, I'm Harriet Baskis.
Get the answer to that question and find more VB Trivia at our website, npr.org.
It is, and your heart will fly away.